Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Crowley doesn't get out on time, and it's 10:03 again. Unbelievable limits, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on, stick with the ball club here.
It is unbelievable.
Support your guys' limits. Come on, Crowley.
Crowley looked in here and was like, you know, John Wehner said something really good that you guys got to hear.
Are we going to hear that?
We'll hear it soon.
I think we will hear it soon. You have it? How are
you
today? Where's Bob?
I'm well. No Bob today. Bob has a prior endeavor.
He's full of crap.
He should be here tomorrow.
So well, that's comforting.
We will see Bob tomorrow, yes. Our spirits will be lifted by the presence of Bob Pompiani.
Well, I miss Bob, first of all.
Me too. I miss Bob every day I don't see him.
I wish I was playing golf with Bob. The Pirates have reached the halfway point limits of what has been an incredibly calamitous and disastrous first half. To put it mildly.
Underwhelming is a good word.
No, underwhelming is a horrible word. It's actually an underwhelming word, ironically enough. Underwhelming? This has been the single most calamitous first half for any Pittsburgh franchise, certainly since I've been in this city, which was November of 89, when I left Buffalo because I blamed my friends for me drinking too much and thought that Pittsburgh would save me. And eventually it did, I might add, limits. But November of 89 until now? Tell me a team that has had a more calamitous season than this. You can't.
No, I can't.
And you might not be able to in all of sports history, I might add. The history of professional sports in North America. Tell me. Find me one. They hit 81 games last night. Fittingly, there was yet another negative story attached to that, which was O'Neill Cruz getting benched. But do I need to go through all this? What's happened in the first half? I mean, it started on day one of spring training when their first baseman, it was revealed, only had one functioning arm, that they had traded for a first baseman with a chronic wrist injury. That morphed into people flying over the stadium with banners at the home opener, which morphed into replacing the Clemente logo on the Clemente wall, which morphed into the Bucko brick fiasco, which morphed into somebody nearly dying when they fell over the Clemente wall, which morphed into an outfielder making a lewd gesture to a fan in Anaheim, which morphed into a relief pitcher taking a flying leap at a fan in Detroit, was that? Which I actually don't blame Dennis Santana for. What did I miss? Oh,
you
yes,
missed the
I, missed, I missed the stadium employee beating a fan with a belt. I missed the manager getting fired at 12-26. I have never, ever, and I'm not engaging in hyperbole here in any way, shape, or form, I've never seen the likes of this for any sports team anywhere. As one Pirate employee told me earlier this season, not that long ago, and I quote, "Every day I'd say, this can't get any worse, and then the next day would come." I mean, limits. Underwhelming. They wish this first half was underwhelming.
Completely disastrously underwhelming.
Yes. How about just forget the underwhelming and go with completely disastrous, surreal, calamitous is a good word, horrific. Surreal and unbelievable, yes, in the truest sense of the word.
Unbelievable is overused significantly. That's one of Lanny Fratteri's pet peeves, don't use unbelievable all the time. This season has been unbelievable with everything that transpired.
Truly, truly it has, and they're on pace to lose 98 games, and, you know, maybe some of those other stories would be lesser if they were actually winning. In fact, most of them would be. But you know where that brings us. Given the nature of this first half, Limits, I think it's about time we crack a six-pack and drown our sorrows, don't you?
Yes, I would love to.
What a nice man you are.
Hey,
what's your T-shirt? What do you got in your T-shirt game today,
it's
big boy?
It's a Skeens Day shirt.
Oh!
How about that? Great shirt from Breaking Tea.
You have the best T-shirt game in town, and certainly at the Fan.
It.
I mean, you really do. It's legendary. Today's going to be a great pitching matchup, too, by the way.
Yes, Skeens, Mizorowski, 2:00. So as soon as we're done with the show, all eyes will be fixated on the game.
Hold on a second here. I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going to get to Cruz in a minute. Let's do our first item on that, is that pitching matchup to begin the second half, because this Mizorowski, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
He's 6'7", and he just rifles the ball past people. And Cincinnati also had a dude come up the other day. What's his name, Limits? Chase Burns,
yeah, Burns,
I believe?
He was the number 2 pick in the draft.
Oh, my God. Did you see some of his stuff?
99, 100 consistently.
And let me say this about what we all thought was the poor, pitiful, little NL Central, Limits. Do you know which division in the majors has the most winning teams in it?
Wrong. The NL Central.
I like that. They're tied with the NL West, but if you took their aggregate numbers, they're right there. You have the Cubs at 13 games over, the Brewers at 8 games over, the Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals every year. How did they? Did I miss their rebuild?
I thought this was supposed to be the rebuild this year for the Cardinals.
The Pirates have 20-year rebuilds. The Cardinals have 20-week rebuilds.
They're 8 over. And they've won 8 out of their last 10 to put them
in this
spot.
They've won 8 out of 10. The Brewers have won 7 out of 10. The Reds, under Terry Francona, have won 7 out of 10. Every team in the division is at least plus 40 in run differential. Plus 40. And here sit the Pirates at 32-49. Do you know the only two teams in all of baseball with more losses than them, Limits?
The Colorado Rockies, and I'm going to say the Oakland. Oh, wait.
Wrong.
The minor league ballpark A's.
Wrong. It's the A's have the same number. They have the same record as the Pirates. It's the Chicago White Sox. So the White Sox were one of baseball history's worst teams, one of the worst teams ever last year. And the Rockies might be the worst team ever this year. And those are the only two that have more losses than the Pirates. But kudos to the NL Central, at least 4 of the 5 teams, Limits. Next. Everybody's saying what a crappy division it would be. Yeah, they were all wrong. Just like Crowley says I am all the time.
Wrong.
Including this morning. And I'm going to rip him in a moment here. Mm. All right, O'Neill Cruz. What are we doing here? I hope that Don Kelly learned a lesson early in his managerial career. And I think the lesson would be this. These kinds of hustle issues are to be, or any kinds of issues like this, are to be addressed immediately and firmly. Instead, we saw, 4 days ago, O'Neill Cruz booed a ball in center field, and like he was in Little League, just stood and watched the ball roll to the fence. Instead of addressing that immediately and firmly, Don Kelly kept Cruz in the game, and then afterward, borderline defended him by saying, essentially. Man, you should have seen how hard he tried later in the game. Well, by not addressing it then, I think that Kelly reaped what he sowed last night. I do. And it was Cruz jogging down the first baseline, but the Pirates still mildly in the game in the seventh inning. And it wound up with a double play to end the inning. And Kevin Young on the broadcast immediately addressed it by saying that is unacceptable. You had McCutchen coming up. And who knows, you might have wiped out a chance for a two-run homer right there. Then it's 7-5. You're right back in the game. Cruz explained it afterwards by saying he thought that there was two outs. Okay, is that any better? If there were, do you just not run? So apparently nobody told Kelly about that because he didn't mention that after the game. He didn't say, yeah, he thought there were two outs. All he said was there was not enough energy running up the line. So I took him out of the game in the next inning. Do we have Kelly from after the game? Go ahead.
Here it is.
Why was O'Neill removed before the eighth inning?
Just the energy and effort going down the line. You know, I think we were pretty clear the other day, and he knows the expectation going forward.
What was the conversation like with him? Was it just something, like you said, it was already known, or did you have to sit him down and kind of talk to him a little bit more?
I mean, we talked, but he knows the expectation, and right there, I think we fell a little short.
The Noah Constrictor all over that one, huh, Limits?
It seems like it always is the Noah Constrictor that ends up being the one to go at it with managers, right?
I don't know what we're going to do with Bednar right now, Noah. Probably a little fresh.
Wait a second. Do you have the rest of that? Was there more to that? Because I was just going to say, if that had been under Shelty's watch last night and Noah came at Shelty with those questions, it could have gotten real ugly. Real ugly.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
It's 11 to nothing.
Is tremendous stuff. It was 11 to nothing. That was when Rowdy Tellez pitched three times in like eight games and had a better ERA than Bednar at the time.
That's right,
I believe.
Yeah.
So do you agree that Kelly got what he sort of asked for here? What I take from Kelly's remarks last night is, yes, they had a talk after the center field incident where Kelly must have said it's zero tolerance from now on, whereas it should have been zero tolerance from day one for a guy standing there in center field and watching a ball roll to the wall. I'm not sure I wouldn't have taken him out of the game right then. I mean, I haven't seen that too much other than a guy named Ryan took my daughter out of a softball game in front of all the parents because a ball went over her head.
Jeez.
At 12 years
old.
Come
on, Ryan.
I did see that. But I don't know if you even do that at the major league level. But you got to bench him an inning later, right?
Yeah, I would have immediately benched him. And you saw on the broadcast, they showed that Cruz and Brian Reynolds were walking out to the outfield together. And Reynolds is like having a conversation with him. Why that was not immediate, I don't know. Like, why were they waiting? Kelly should have made the move, though. Like, it was definitely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, not going to get fooled again.
Very good.
Immediately should have been benched.
I like that, Limits. That's the perfect saying for this thing.
Well, and that's because, like, the old manager got fooled twice, three times, four
right.
times, five times, and did nothing about it.
Right.
He let O'Neill and Cruz
again,
walk all over them.
And again, so I guess better late than never. And Kelly looked very unhappy after it happened in the dugout. But let's not pretend that it's just O'Neill Cruz, okay? As we've said a bunch of times, I think, since the center field incident against Texas, this team, given its paltry payroll and its bumbling GM, who has created one of the most ridiculous lineups in the history of the franchise, really has two things it can sell. Not that it would sell or does sell, and yeah, you should have more than this, but it really does have two things. Hustle and good fundamental baseball. So let's not pretend that O'Neill Cruz is the only one guilty of breaches in either category. At least he made it to first base. Joey Bart never made it that far in a game the other day, and that's when the fan yelled down, run it out!
Run it out!
You had Majinski last night failing to cover first. You've had guys thrown out on the base paths. I've mentioned Adam Frazier unable to bunt. I guess the third time was a charm, but within the last month or so, he's been asked to bunt three different times and has mangled it twice. You know, stuff happens. I get it. It's baseball. But when you only have hustle and fundamental play to sell and you fall so woefully short on both of those, man, somebody's got to set people straight, and it's got to be faster than, I'll forgive you this time, but watch out next time.
You know how they have a Heart and Hustle Award that every team has a recipient of?
Yes.
Who would be the, who would win? They're more,
oh,
there's more of a candidate for a lack of heart and hustle,
yes,
on this team. There's more candidates for that award than there is actual heart and hustle.
Man, did you see, I tuned in late, so I had to backtrack on a lot of this. I tuned in when McCutchen was up and had a routine ground out and ran to first base like Usain Bolt.
He is their heart and hustle at 38.
That was in the eighth inning.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, because Greg Brown reacted to it and so did Kevin Young, essentially saying he's trying to set an example. And I'm like, what has happened in this game that I've missed? And then, of course, I backtracked to O'Neill Cruz, and then Cruz doesn't come out for the bottom of the eighth,
yeah,
if I'm
the
not
bottom
mistaken,
of the eighth.
Right? So what a story, really. What a story. Should he play today is the next question. Limits. I agree.
He should not play today. And I know that you want to get as much run support for Paul Skeens, and that might be against the full effort for that, because he's obviously your most talented hitter. But you have to set an example.
I mean, he's your most talented hitter. He's also your worst hitter.
Yeah.
Probably for a month now. And that's saying something on this team.
And
but
he is
just flailing and flailing away.
Like average, I think average is important. It's not the end-all be-all. But he's hitting under 200, like significantly. He's not making that hard contact that everyone likes to talk about. He's not making any contact.
Well,
no, he's just not able to drive the ball like he showed so well in May. He has been a completely different player in June.
Yeah, he's been the... Everything around him has been what has disappointed me most about Kelly. There are things that I like a lot about Don Kelly right now. The way he manages the bullpen, I think, is clearly different than what Shelty did.
Yeah.
He seems to be more married to having a somewhat regular lineup. And there seems to be a different approach that we talked about with Michael McHenry at the plate that has worked some. I'd like to see the offensive numbers since Kelly arrived compared to Shelty, but just, you know, anecdotally, what my eyes tell me that they have a different and maybe better approach. I mean, I don't know that any approach is going to save, a bunch of hitters, most of whom aren't any good. It really doesn't matter at that point what your approach is. But the Cruz situation, the things we just talked about, but also limits. And this, I guess, speaks against a set lineup. What could possibly be the rationale for continuing to bat him leadoff against lefties, or leadoff in general, actually, but especially against lefties? Aren't you just like cutting your team's chance of winning way down? He can't hit lefties. I'm not saying you shouldn't let him try, because he's still a huge part of your future.
Yeah.
And the only way you get to hit lefties is to get in there and learn by trial and error. But you can't bat him leadoff against left-handed pitching.
How much do you take what he has previously done this year and balance it out with what he's currently doing right now? That's the answer for me, because he's clearly the most comfortable in the leadoff spot. Like he said it, his performance over the first month that he was there indicated it.
That's what about his performance over the second month?
Well, that's the thing.
Or third month, I should say.
He's obviously going to have a huge slump, but that means that they should adjust to what's going on with the current slump.
He doesn't belong in the leadoff spot.
Which means that
he
should be batting like...
Does he lead the league in strikeouts? Or strikeouts per at-bat, at least?
He was as of last week.
So he shouldn't be your leadoff hitter, I don't think, under any circumstance. But never, ever against a lefty. Next. Why, thank you, Limits. And you mentioned John Wehner, didn't you? Now, am I to understand that Wehner was on the morning show?
Yes, Wehner was on the morning show earlier today.
Yeah.
And he had some comments about O'Neill Cruz. First, about Donnie Kelly ultimately benching Cruz, and why or if that was the right decision.
Donnie does a really good job of protecting his players. You know, we've seen it from the moment he took over, getting thrown out of games. You know, he says he's going to always protect his guys. The incident that happened last week at home, you know, the optics weren't good. The ball that gets by O'Neill Cruz, ball rolls behind him. You can understand the expectation. Cruz thought somebody was backing him up, and there was somebody there, but still, like, the body language, the look, the effort wasn't what it was supposed to be. And Donnie protected him for that. Yeah. Donnie said, well, yeah, look at the energy and the effort after that and how hard he was running and blah, 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 blah. And if you're protecting your guys and yet they're going to continue to do things that don't look good, there got to be consequences. And I think that's the message Donnie sent. I don't know if that'll be the only message. I don't know if that means, you know, he just sits for an inning and a half, or if it carries over today. I'm not sure.
And he does lead the majors in strikeouts with 101.
Yeah, that's that. Unless you're getting
in 70
incredible
games.
Production, that's not your leadoff hitter. And I would also say, on John's comments, there's a very fine line between protecting and coddling your players. And I think there was a little too much coddling going on with O'Neill for the Texas incident. And again, that bled into this. What were you going to say, Limits?
Well, and this is what Wehner had to say just previously about Cruz and kind of the coddling you mentioned.
I'm going to, in a way, defend O'Neill Cruz, and in a way I'm not. You know, I think since the moment he got to the big leagues, he's kind of had this nonchalant attitude. I don't think he's one that you can say gives 100% every time he's on the field. Having said that, I feel like since Donnie took over, I think he's run as hard as I've seen him since he's been in the big leagues. And it's not always 100%, but I think there's been more effort from O'Neill Cruz. I think he's been working harder on his defense. I think he's been running harder to first base. And, you know, but there are times where, you know, it doesn't look good. Last night, obviously, it didn't look good. And I believe him when he said he thought there was two outs. I watched the replay, and I saw him going down the line. And, you know, as soon as he saw the third baseman throw it to second base, he let up. Now, you're up third in an inning. I don't understand why he would think that would be the third out. But, you know, that's the mental lapses or what have you that we've seen at times from O'Neill Cruz. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, if you watch him, if you keep your eyes on him during a game, you can get frustrated sometimes. You know, he'll walk out to his position in the outfield, he'll walk back to the dugout. You know, there's a nonchalantness, there's a lack of urgency at times. And he's so talented, and I think, you know, whether he's sulking or what have you at this point, it's hard to tell. Well, I guess that's what it kind of looks like. I don't know if that's how he feels, but that's kind of looking like it. He's not swinging the bat well. And when you're not swinging the bat well, you got to win games with your other tools.
I agree with every syllable he just said. You know, unfortunately, though, as I mentioned, poor fundamental play and lack of hustle doesn't begin and end with him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And for the millionth time, those are really the only things they kind of have to sell. Now, that's team-wide, you know, the team approach. Obviously, Paul Skenes is a selling point for this team, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Cruz also is looked at as one of the, I don't know if he's looked at as a leader, but he's looked at as one of the most maybe influential players on the team. Like, his stature on this team compared to other players is significant just because of his abilities, just because of his talent. So I wonder if some players say, oh, well, if O'Neill does this and nothing happens to him, maybe I can get away with it too. I mean, could that factor in a little bit to the lack of hustle, to the lack of effort that's sometimes given on the bases?
Why did I send Crowley a photo of the trail I walked on today? Limits.
I don't know, but you send it to me as well. And
I meant to send that to my wife, saying we should walk on that trail. Doesn't it look nice?
It does look very nice.
I think it's the Gilfin something trail right across from South Hills Village out there in Bethel Park.
When you sent this 10 minutes before the show, I was like, oh no, is Joe not showing up for the show today? Is he
taking
a stroll today for the first segment?
Into the wilderness. Oh yeah, Crowley reminded me, Nick Gonzalez, part of the calamity of this first half was him breaking a leg or re-breaking it or realizing it was broken as he rounded the bases on a home run trot. You don't see that every day, Limits.
No, and the Jared Jones injury as well, that he thought he was going to be able to rest and rehab and be okay. And
the whole fiasco.
Didn't work that way.
The entire catastrophe from beginning to end. Next. Why, thank you, Limits. Aaron Rodgers is, okay, this is where where I'm going to rip Crowley, if you don't mind, and I'm sure you don't.
May I?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have the guys out to Malibu to work out with him, which is wonderful, a wonderful gesture on his part.
I wish I was invited.
So do I. Have you been to Malibu?
I have. Incredible place. Really sad, everything that happened with the fires there, though, earlier this year. Some of Malibu's was really decimated.
No doubt. I was out in Hollywood a couple of years ago with my daughter, and we took one of those tour buses, a mini bus, up into right near the Hollywood sign and up into, you know, mansions and things like that. Have you done that, Limits?
I have not done the tour, but we did go up
to
Griffiths.
You're the beat writer.
We went to Griffiths Observatory and were able to see the city and saw the Hollywood sign. So much, what is it, smog? Fog that's out there in L.A.?
Yeah.
Where you could barely see, off into the distance.
That's the truth. Aaron Rodgers, last year, if I'm not mistaken, did he not miss mandatory minicamp to go to a cave?
I thought he went to Egypt.
He was absent due to, a pre-planned trip to Egypt.
Yep.
You're exactly right. I get my caves and my trips to Egypt.
Very easy to do.
So Crowley is on this crusade to get people to apologize to Aaron Rodgers. Ooh. We're sorry, Aaron, for all the bad things we may have said, or in this case, not said about you, or projected about you. Can we hear a little bit of Crowley from this morning?
Two clips from Crowley. Here's the first one on if Rodgers is earning the benefit of the doubt.
Rodgers is starting to earn my benefit of the doubt. A lot of people said, Rodgers, he's going to go on McAfee, he's going to cause distractions. He's been on the McAfee show twice since the Steelers saga began. He ain't said a single thing that's controversial in those two podcasts. Now, if you want that, okay, he'll go and he'll jump on the Joe Rogan podcast, but you have to go seek that out as a non-sports fan to get his opinions on other stuff. And I'm talking specifically in his time being courted by the Steelers. He's gone on McAfee twice, not said anything controversial. People seem to think, oh, he's not going to show up until training camp. He just wants to milk every last bit out of this offseason. That's not the case. He shows up for minicamp. Well, he's not committed. Oh, isn't he having all the skill position guys out to Malibu? Sounds like a guy who's committed to me. All these things people accuse Rodgers of doing or saying he was going to do, he hasn't done any of it.
Okay. Crowley is building a straw man that's taller than the Empire State Building. Who has accused Rodgers of all these things?
It's one big scarecrow.
And by the way, has Rodgers not earned the benefit of the... I mean, has he not earned the not benefit of the... What's the opposite of the benefit of the doubt limits?
Being criticized.
Yes, he's earned all that. He hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt, is what I meant to say. This is a guy who last year missed mandatory minicamp because of a trip to Egypt. This is a guy who went on the McAfee show. When was it? I don't remember. 3 months ago or so? And said of the Steelers, you know, if you want to move on, by all means, move on. Call me crazy. He didn't sound all that committed. And by the way, 31 of 32 starting quarterbacks showed up to voluntary workouts, if I'm not mistaken.
But he wasn't under contract.
Limits. Right. He wasn't under contract. So the idea would be to get under contract like he did before mandatory minicamp. I don't know of too many people who didn't think he was going to be here by mandatory minicamp. Did you? That was the smart money all along. So we're going to praise this guy and grovel toward him because he did the bare minimum and showed up for work and acted like a decent person. And that's another thing. There's nobody out there who thought that like Aaron Rodgers was going to show up drunk in a loincloth and start fighting people at minicamp, did we?
Or passing out ayahuasca at mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, putting ayahuasca in the Gatorade bottles.
Maybe he should have. Maybe it would have relaxed everyone.
Where are all these people who thought that all this was going to happen or that he wasn't going to show up to mandatory
minicamp?
Maybe
we should have pumped the brakes on
it. And by the way, if we didn't think he was going to show up, it's because he didn't show up last year, Crowley.
Well, maybe he's a new man. He has a different mentality this year. He even said on the McAfee show, we heard it yesterday, we can hear it again, that this is his final year in all likelihood. This is it for Rodgers. So maybe he is thinking in a different way, and maybe Crowley is onto something with earning the benefit of the doubt. Because I think Rodgers is now singularly focused on this season, where the personal stuff is out of the way now. He talked about that on McAfee as well.
Because the personal stuff is out of the way, everything's out of the way. What leads you to believe that? Because he showed up for work on time and was nice to people?
That's a good start. He showed up.
What would the opposite have been?
Pre-existing relationship with Arthur Smith, I think, matters. And the way that he's been winning all the press conferences.
Good for him.
So it's a good start.
What's his record? 2-0?
What do you want him to do? Go on there and just trash everything?
There you go. There's what Crowley and apparently you think he was going to do when absolutely nobody thought that.
But that's what he's done previously. And he hasn't not done that.
What has he done previously?
He has gone on and has he's thrown teammates under the bus.
Crowley says he hasn't thrown teammates under the bus. He said all his teammates loved him.
Well, not yet. What I'm talking about is comparing last year, what you were doing with the Egypt trip and everything with the Jets, where he was throwing Garrett Wilson under the bus. He was throwing Mike Williams under the bus before he was ultimately traded. Not going to mandatory minicamp to go to Egypt.
Right. So again, call me crazy, but I wondered about some of these things. And when I hear a guy say, hey, if the Steelers want to move on, by all means, move on. I'm attached to nothing and blah, 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 whatever he said.
You can wonder, but since he's been signed, none of that's been true.
Well, what did you expect to be true once he signed? Again, that he was going to show up in a loincloth and start fighting people?
No.
He was going to show up and show up to work and be a decent guy. Nobody ever said he was this horrible person who fought teammates or belittled them all the time. I'm sure most of his teammates do like him. He's a four-time MVP. He's an unbelievable competitor. But you're feeding into this Crowley straw man that everybody was predicting. And he's done nothing but do what's expected. He signed, he showed up to mandatory minicamp, and he acted like a normal human being. So what are we supposed to do? Well, sorry, Aaron, for everything we wondered about?
People have made him out to be something completely different than a normal human being, with his odd takes on different things and politics and health and all kind of stuff like that. And as Crowley pointed out, you have to go search that out on Rogan. He's not making that publicly available on the McAfee show. And I feel like he so far is setting a different example than what he did with the Jets. So far, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Aaron. And I'm more optimistic now that he is more focused on football this year than he was on football last year.
Because
and part of that is because he did show up. Yes, because he didn't do it last year.
Right. Okay. All right. Me too. Now I think everything's going to be great because he showed up to work on time and went to a barbecue at Mike Tomlin's house.
You have always questioned.
Everything's going to be great.
You have questioned how committed Aaron Rodgers truly is
to
this.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's already shown more commitment than he did previously.
31 of 32 quarterbacks showed up to the voluntary
OTAs. Yeah, and again, he was not signed.
So the idea would be to sign and show up.
Great,
right?
If he was signed.
31 of 32 did.
We had conversations, is he going to show up when's he going to be there at training camp? Is he even going to show up on time for training camp?
No, I always said the smart money was Aaron Rodgers will be here by mandatory minicamp and we'll go from there. I mean, this whole idea that there is going to be some huge, issue and blow up at what? Mandatory minicamp? Oh. He's just doing what everybody else does. Good for him. Great.
But isn't that what you're asking him to do? Do everything else that everyone else does? Like showing up like all 31 other quarterbacks?
Yeah. Well, he didn't, first of all, at the start, at voluntary OTAs. And secondly, the season hasn't started yet, Limits. It's football in shorts. Like, was it a huge effort to show up to mandatory minicamp? Is he to be praised for that?
I understand that, but we also...
Are you praising him for it?
We also ragged on him for how long for not showing up to everything else.
You did too,
and
right?
And not signing. I did, yes. So, and now he's here. So maybe my perspective has changed based on new information about what he's talking about.
Because he's here and breathing? Because he's present? Oh,
no,
everything
because
changed.
The way that he's going about the business now. Inviting teammates to Malibu, going on McAfee and saying all the right things. Sure, it might be a huge PR thing, like similar to Russell Wilson. But right now, I'm fine with what's going on. I'm more optimistic that he's more linearly focused on the season.
I don't know what you expected.
Because
he said
that it's his last year. So he's trying to go all out this year to prove, just like Brett Favre did his last year with the Vikings, that what happened with the Jets was just a two-year, not a one-off, maybe last year just a one-off because he was hurt the year before, but that he is still the Aaron Rodgers that can get it done. Not at the level he was as an MVP.
How about his last year with the Packers?
Not as the level he was as an MVP, but he can still be
successful. What about his last year with the Packers? And that's the bottom line here, by the way, is can he play? Can he still play at a high level? I mean, I'm glad he showed up to work. I commend him greatly for that, for showing up to work and being a good guy at work. I just happen to think that's the least a person can do and that this groveling over him is ridiculous. Limits? How about his last year in Green Bay? Limits is now on the phone, with Crowley.
With the general, actually.
Ah, the general is on the line.
The general likes to call in early, so we're going to talk to the general later.
He threw 12 interceptions his last year in Green Bay. He's thrown 23 interceptions his last two seasons, and that was more than his previous five combined. Remember we went over that yesterday, Limits?
Of course.
Limits is still talking to the general. All right, so you're on Crowley's side. 412-928-9370. We'll get to the rest of the 12-pack, including an unbelievable, and I'll use that word again, an unbelievable omission by myself and Limits and even Sean Gentile, who got into the act yesterday, texting me about our top five athletes of the Pittsburgh quarter century.
Uh-oh, we left someone off.
You won't believe who we left off.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Limits, can we take calls during the six-pack? Is that allowed? I don't think we've ever done that.
I think it's fully acceptable.
We will, but what are the two things I teased to?
Deontay.
The other thing. We did the top five athletes of the Pittsburgh quarter century yesterday. Our top five.
Yes.
We landed on some version of Sid, Ben, Gino, McCutcheon, and Paul Amalu, right?
Yes.
We left out, therefore, Aaron Donald, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown.
J.D. McCoy.
I don't know. Well,
he wouldn't fit that category, but still.
Antonio Brown. Guess who we left out? And guess who Sean Gentile left out when he was texting me later?
Phil Kessel.
T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I know. What do you mean, What do you mean, yeah? You why didn't you say his name then?
Because I don't feel like he can surpass anybody in that top five.
You don't think T.J. Watt's been better and at a higher level on his job and his career than, say, McCutcheon was in his, even at the height of his powers? T.J. Watt.
Close.
T.J. Watt should be a three-time defensive player of the year in the NFL.
He should be, and he also has the all-time sacks record tied with Strahan.
You're making it sound like we weren't derelict of duty in not mentioning his name.
No,
like,
we should have. I think he might.
I think he might be in there. Who has had the better Steeler career? Because we were lamenting no Antonio Brown. Neither one of us put him on our list. Antonio Brown or T.J. Watt? It's a good question.
That's a great question.
Isn't it?
I would say probably T.J. Watt.
I think we made a horrible mistake, and we should apologize to our listeners.
I'll apologize to TJ.
Didn't any of the texters weigh in with that yesterday? Maybe they should apologize to us.
No texters. I think maybe one texter might have said TJ Watt, but
I'm ashamed of myself.
Who are you bumping out then? Are you bumping Troy out for TJ Watt?
I don't know.
I'm not. Are you bumping Malkin out for TJ Watt?
I mean, you could certainly make an argument that TJ Watt, Troy won Super Bowls. But T.J. Watt, one could make the argument, has had a better career than Troy did.
Troy had a defensive player of the year as well.
And I know he did.
He was the most dominant player at his position during his 7-8 year run. I think more dominant than Ed Reed.
That's a tough one.
It is very tough.
More dominant than T.J. Watt at his position?
That's the thing. There's also a lot more competition at that position than there is at safety. Like, there are a lot more really good edge rushers than there were really good safeties, where you're talking about Dawkins, Troy, Ed Reed, the likes of those guys.
Yeah.
Where I think there's a lot more debate and a lot more argued too with TJ, and that maybe that hurts TJ.
Maybe.
Where he is, Garrett,
I mean,
Crosby,
obviously it hurts.
Parsons.
If TJ won a Super Bowl, he'd be on that list.
Yes.
There's no question about that.
And he probably would end up bumping somebody like McCutcheon.
All right, let's hit a call before we get to good old Deontay.
Let's go to Pete in South Carolina.
What's up, Pete?
Hey, Joe. How's it going today?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, just wanted to talk about the Aaron Rodgers discussion. And, you know, the past couple of years you were mentioning he's had 12 interceptions with Green Bay in his last year, 11 last year. I mean, the average interception is between 10 and 11 for a starting quarterback in the past, I think, 4 or 5 years. So he's kind of right in that middle ground. I don't necessarily think that the interceptions are a massive problem for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not an Aaron Rodgers guy at all, but I do think he provides at least an opportunity for this offense to score more than, you know, 25 points 2 or 3 times a year. So I'm optimistic what he could bring even at his extended age.
And you might be right. I just happen to have a different opinion. And I think when somebody, a huge part of what made him Aaron Rodgers was single digit interceptions. This dude in 2020 had 48 touchdowns and 5 picks.
Yeah.
5 picks. So that's why it stands out with him more than it would ordinarily, because you're right, those aren't outrageous numbers, but suddenly in his last 2 full seasons, he's throwing 23 interceptions over 2 years. But your points are well taken, and you might be right, and you know what else is, I remain open-minded. I hope Aaron Rodgers does play well. Just like I hoped and I thought Russell Wilson would, and Russell Wilson did for a while. Limits, we were sitting here with the rest of the sports world, Mark Schlereth, good old Stink, saying I was wrong. Russell Wilson's actually really good. Russell Wilson throws the moon ball. He puts more touch on the ball, better deep ball. He's completely transformed their passing game compared to Justin Fields. You said it. I said it. Bob said it. Crowley said it. Doran said it. Boney said it. Mueller said it. Everybody else nationally said it. Donnie Football said it. Everybody said it. You know why? Because he was playing well. And then when they faced better competition, everything changed, didn't it?
It did. And I fell into a little bit of the trap of getting caught up in the moment because I at first was not in favor of the Russell Wilson move.
Well, he played well.
And then he did, yeah. I wanted Justin Fields to be their guy throughout the entirety of the season, and I wouldn't even have wanted them to acquire Russ just because I wanted to go younger with Justin Fields and see how it ultimately transpired.
You wanted Sam Darnold over Rodgers, and then you have subsequently abandoned Sam Darnold, and you think Rodgers will be better than
because
him.
I feel like Rodgers can do more on his own, and Sam Darnold needs more of a system to be able to thrive, even though I like Sam Darnold a lot. And if he would have stuck in Minnesota, I'd feel really good about Darnold, but him in the right spot, the right location, I think matters.
And you think Rodgers is in the right spot?
I think Rodgers is in a good spot for him to be able to bounce things off with Arthur Smith and be able to thrive here, yeah.
I had some severe questions about the Arthur Smith offense coming out of last season.
I still do too. Like, there are a lot of things about the Arthur Smith offense we truly don't know. But I think that their personnel is better at running back. They're in a better position on the offensive line. I'm still questioning the wide receiver core.
But you were talking about the system. And I'm not sure landing with Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith is a good place for any quarterback to have
success.
Well,
the players also help make the system. You know,
yeah.
So the fact that they're players, now we can have the argument how much better are their players than last year. But I think they are better.
Maybe they are. They look kind of the same to me. But again, the system. You know, in his first year here, Arthur Smith's offense ranked 22nd in total offense, barely ahead of the Jets, I might add. Didn't score a first drive touchdown in any of their 18 games. For the first time since the 1-13 team of 1969 went 5 straight games without eclipsing 17 points, they were the worst first down offense in the entire NFL based on yards per play. They embarrassed themselves in the first half of the playoff game with 2 first downs and 59 yards. They were the 4th worst red zone offense in the league. They were the 4th worst 4th down team in the league. They were a horrible short yardage team. And they might have stripped their veteran quarterback of his ability to change plays at the line after he shredded the Bengals. And they only averaged 4.1 yards per rush with only 6 teams worse. And they were 16th in scoring offense. Now, other than that, I thought they were awesome.
Other than that, how did the team perform?
But you're claiming he's landed in a good spot for offense. Limits. Limits is on the phone again. Let's take another call, shall we? He says, hold on a second. Is this unbelievable? This man is live on the air with me. We're doing a show together. I'm barely staying above water without Bob.
Joe, we want to hear from some of the people. I want to make sure that we know what the people want to talk about.
You should vet the people.
But other than all that,
I did think that the Steelers' offense was a juggernaut last season.
Let's see what Bob, who is in Baldwin. I don't think I know Bob, but we'll see what he has to say about Rodgers.
Bob, how are you?
I don't know. What's up, guys? No, this is Professor Healy. We know each other, Austin. How you doing, brother?
Doing good.
Hey, good. So, yeah, the top five you guys had was accurate, you know, and I think it's okay to all of us, me included, that haven't listened to you guys, not considering why. So I think that gives you your answer. You know, when the guy doesn't pop in conversation, who had the better career, it was Antonio Brown. I mean, we got to remember the guy did get to a Super Bowl with the Steelers. I know he was young then, and they lost that Super Bowl, but Brown had a better career with the Steelers. So the Steelers had a little bit of postseason success with Brown in there, and that's the standard here.
You know, I guess
T.J. Watt. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I say with T.J. Watt, it's just been disappointment, and I think it's good that the standard for the Steelers is postseason success, and he just hasn't had any.
I mean, how much did Antonio Brown, in that first year, you're right, he made a great catch, the helmet catch, and then he did help seal the AFC title game with a nice catch on it. I think it was third or fourth down. But how much postseason success was he really responsible for? And is that more of a team thing or individual? I get sometimes go back and forth on that. Like, I don't know how much to penalize T.J. Watt, whether he should be a top five athlete in Pittsburgh this century because of the team's lack of playoff success. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy's been unbelievable here. He should be a three-time defensive player of the year. If he was... If he had beaten out Myles Garrett the 1 year he should have, and I actually thought he should have beaten out Aaron Donald 1 year as well, if we're sitting here with TJ rightfully as a three-time defensive player of the year, there's no question he's on our list. Right, Limits?
Yeah, I would say so.
Right, Bob and Baldwin?
Well, the truth is, though, he only won one time, you know, which puts him in the same category as Polamalu, but Polamalu has all those Super Bowls. You know, I do think Antonio Brown was in the middle of some big postseason moments. I mean, he was the guy who drew the flag that won the Bengals game, you know, in that crazy situation.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just, you know, and don't forget he was also, I think, just as deserving as things like Offensive Player of the Year. Maybe Antonio Brown deserved an MVP somewhere in there, too, and didn't get it. You know, but the truth is, Watt only got one of those. He hasn't been the far and away head, you know, over the shoulders, everybody better than everyone on defense because other guys have been in the conversation.
I don't know. I would tend to disagree with that. And just because sports, right, like, is your Barry Bonds argument then that, oh, he didn't make the Hall of Fame, so how can he be among the greatest players of all time? Like, just because somebody's been wronged by sports writers, to me, doesn't take away from the argument. Like, I feel perfectly comfortable sitting here saying, in my mind, T.J. Watt is a three-time defensive player of the year because he was good enough and should have won it three times. And therefore, I'm putting him in my top five, Limits, and I'm eliminating Evgeny Malkin.
Wow.
No, I'm eliminating Kutch.
Wow.
No, I'm eliminating Polamalu.
Wow.
No, I can't eliminate Polamalu.
Whoa.
I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. They put a video up yesterday of you and I going back and forth 1,000 times. It's impossible. Gentilly texted me later in the day. You go ahead and try it if you're listening and hopefully watching on our YouTube page. Say hello, Limits. Are we going to put the camera on you again today?
Why don't we do that? Well, I think the issue with putting the camera on me is you can see the reflection from the TVs.
Yeah.
And that's not...
You try to make your top five Steeler athletes since 2000. Go ahead. Try it. See who you leave out. How can you leave out Larry Fitzgerald? Well, we both did. Was there anybody who played at a higher level than he did at Pitt?
No.
No.
Not in the last 25 years, no.
Not in the last 25 years. If you wanted to go strictly by talent, who were the most talented athletes here, you would have to put Geno ahead of Sid. You'd have to have, like, Martavis Bryant on your list. You'd have to have Paul Skeens on the list.
Hold on, we're burying the lead here. You think Gino is more talented than Sid?
Yes, I think Sid probably thinks that.
Oh, my gosh.
Sid has been more productive and a better overall hockey player. But if we're talking terms of like sheer artistry and magic and talent, yes. Plus, he's much bigger. But Sid's been the better. Don't make no mistake here. Sid has been the better player. But yeah, Gino's a more talented player.
I don't even know where to start with that.
Just start with the obvious that it's true.
Well, I mean, obviously he's the bigger player, and there's a lot of wow with Gino just being able to move through different defenders and stuff like that. But do you think that should be factored in the way that they've aged, though? I mean, Crosby is still so
skillful.
Yes,
I said very
right
clearly
now.
Limits that Crosby's the better player. He's a better hockey
Crosby's
player.
Crosby's skills have
Did you
not
hear
deteriorated
me say that Martavis,
the way that Malkin's
I would out. Also put Martavis Bryant ahead of Hines Ward in terms of talent. Surely you understand the nuance here.
Of course. Should talent matter, though, in terms of longevity and how long you're able to play?
Yeah, it should. That's why Martavis Bryant never came around. Do you not understand talent compared to production and longevity and defensive play and things like that?
Right, but you're saying that Martavis Bryant did not play long because, of course, he had a lot of talent, but he was not productive. Sid has so much talent, and he's still so productive at the age that he's at, where Malkin has not nearly the same player that he used to be.
Right.
I think we're understanding things in a different way.
I think so. Yeah, I'm talking strictly talent. And it's not like Gino hasn't cashed in on a lot of that talent.
I wonder what the texters think about that.
I don't know. Perhaps they don't understand it the same way you didn't.
Probably not. I clearly didn't understand it
the right way. Sheer talent. Talent. Anyway, let's get to the general. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Limits, do you have a card that the general will present this week? An idea for it?
Yeah, I feel like he's going to go off of the NBA Finals and go potentially with an SGA card after OKC won on Sunday.
I agree. I think that's where you're headed. Hello, General.
Hello, General.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you guys? Thanks for having me. I'm moving on. I'm going with Red Hot Nicky G. I'm past the NBA Finals. I was sad that Halliburton got hurt. We're going with Red Hot Nicky G today. I got an autographed Leaf Valiant rookie card.
Nicky G.
This one, yeah, we're going with Nick Gonzalez. Yep. Been Red Hot. We need some offense. And I'm throwing in a Cal Raleigh card quietly because he does everything after people go to bed.
The big dumper.
Been hitting home runs every single night. So I have a Cal Raleigh card to throw in also.
I love it. General.
On a quick clerical note. Top five Pittsburgh athletes in regards to cards sold. Ben, Sid, TJ, Troy, Kutch, Fleury, close sixth.
Ooh. Fleury, didn't really mention Fleury either.
Yeah. That's the popularity list. A little different than what you guys are talking about, but a representation of what Pittsburghers feel. Where do they put their money?
So that's, you're estimating that since the year 2000, you mean?
Yes. Yes, since 2000, I'd say we sold more Ben cards, followed by Sid, TJ, Troy, Kutch, and Fleury.
Wow.
And if Skeens hangs around much longer, he'll be racing up the list.
That is an impressive list. Thank you, General, for adding
welcome,
to the
guys.
Discussion.
Have a good week.
You too, man.
Thank you, General.
All right, take care.
There he is, the General. That almost mimics our list. He said Ben, Sid, TJ. McCutcheon.
Yep.
And who was his
And I think
fifth?
The fifth was, he had Troy on there, right?
Troy, right. And then Fleury. That is our list.
Yeah. That's everyone we have. Other than, I guess TJ, where do you factor him in? The likes of Malkin.
I have to put TJ in my top five. I have to. I don't know who I'm eliminating. I'll announce that later in the show. It's going to be a very sad day for somebody.
I'll be excited for that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.